Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob here. Today, we're going to talk about the latest season premiere of the MTV Challenge Battle of the X's 2 with the hosts of our Challenge Rehap-Up show, Brian and Allie. But before we get to today's show, I want to play you a short promo for some new shows that are coming up here on Podcast One in the month of January.
Hey there, it's 2015, and Podcast One is celebrating all month long by launching a boatload of exciting new shows.
Wow!
First, the king of all podcasts, Adam Carolla, joins forces with iconoclastic comic legend Dennis Miller for a weekly Adam and Dennis show.
If you're asking me whose voice most closely mirrors what's in my head, it's this cat.
Great guests, great topics, and new listeners always welcome.
We're also teaming up with the geniuses who created thechive.com. If it's funny, it's hot, and it's trending, they're on it.
Yes, sir!
And if you're into celebrity gossip, news, rumors, and interviews, you won't want to miss Hollywood Life with Bonnie Fuller.
Hi, Hollywood Lifers.
Finally, straight from the Garden State, Vinny from the Jersey Shore will be dishing pop culture memes with all his famous friends.
We try to just make a joke of everything.
So check Podcast One every day all month long for start dates and episode info. That's podcastone.com.
Coming to you live from the Battle of the X's Dome, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's nobody's silent partner, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to some special coverage of the start of the MTV Challenge, a.k.a. Battle of the X's 2. And I'm going to be joined today by the hosts, the two people that cover the MTV Challenge for us and a lot of the MTV strategy shows or let's call them reality competitions. Here they are. It's Brian Cohen and Allie Lasher. Hello.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great.
Yes. And here is your ex, Allie. Is that correct?
I'm just still on the fact that you're calling these shows strategy shows on MTV.
That's the greatest compliment they've ever had.
Well, I didn't want to make it sound like you guys are covering like eye candy and stuff like that.
I will cover Teen Mom if asked.
Okay.
I will not.
Good to know. Good to know. So it's a new season of MTV Battle of the Sexes. I just want to clear things up. It is all exes on the show, but you guys have not dated yet.
Congrats. While we did attend the live know-it-alls together, it was platonic.
Okay. So TJ Lavin doesn't have to tell me about a secret hookup or anything like that?
You'll have to wait for season 3.
All right, good.
I'm trying to add a little interest here, Brian. Just now.
Why do they keep him guessing? All right.
Well, anyway, so very excited to talk with you guys today about a very interesting premiere of Battle of the X's 2, which I watched, but I have a lot of questions for you guys, and I'm sure everybody is more interested in what you guys have to say about this because you're the experts. But it's also a newsworthy season of a reality show because, you know, there's this doesn't happen very often, but that the season was filmed. Do we know when?
It was filmed in the summer, I think.
Yeah, like it must have been sometime in the summer because since that season has aired, two of the contestants that are competing on this have died. That, of course, there's Diem Brown, who was the woman who was fighting cancer for the past couple of years. She thought that it was over her battle with cancer, correct, when she went on the show, but then she came back and was re-diagnosed?
Yeah, I think that's basically the way it went down. Yeah, she's been struggling with this for a while. It's been very tough to watch her in and out, but yeah, I think that's basically the storyline she was going into the season with.
Right, and then very quickly, she then lost her battle. I believe it was in November when she passed away. So that's going to be a huge storyline this season. But then a second person that competed on this challenge in Knight also passed away. Was this a drug overdose, Brian?
That, I mean, I don't know if there's been any official word, but I think that's what people are saying. Yeah, but both passings, very, very unfortunate. Both people are very very loved within the challenge community. So seeing both of them pass, unfortunately, was very sad.
I mean, I can't think of a time that this has ever happened before where you have two people on the same show who have passed away before the show starts. I know the last season of The Bachelor, this has happened, and there's been other shows where, you know, we had one tragic loss, but it's almost crazy to think that two people from this show are gone.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I think MTV is trying to make this. They said this before the season that they're going to make this a tribute to them that hopefully people can look back on and just enjoy their final season. So hopefully that'll be what it plays out to be.
Yeah. I mean, the DM Brown thing is so tragic. And, you know, she's so amazing every time she's up on the screen. You know, I'm not super familiar with her work from before this, but I mean, she really comes off amazing through this first episode.
I just think that what's interesting about this first episode in particular is you really saw like DM at her best. Like everything you love about DM you saw in this episode. And everything you love about Knight, you saw in this episode, too. Like, Knight was so Knight. They didn't edit that out. Like, Knight is the lovable guy who always teases Jemmy, always, like, makes the funny, like, sarcastic, semi-mean comment. And so I think they're really just showing them at their truest selves, and we really saw that in this premiere.
And so we're going to get into more and more of this. Of course, the premise of Battle of the Exes 2 is that every single person is paired up with another person that they either dated, hooked up with, and there's even people that they secretly hooked up with. Allie, how does MTV know who had a secret hookup with who?
We assume that they know this based on Johnny Bananas getting his pick of a partner and them just wanting Johnny Bananas on this show. Brian and I have talked about this, that it really seems like a big stretch, at least in my mind, some of these couples. I think with Bananas and Nani, they cleared it up a little bit that they've
I didn't get any clear sense.
I thought in the preview information they offered, they didn't even mention hooking up or a relationship. At least they mentioned, I think Nani called it a relationship. So it's still unclear. We think they just want those two on the show. They maybe had a little rendezvous.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of crazy that TJ Lavin is just like at different times, like, well, okay, so I heard from somebody that you had a secret hookup with this person. I'd be like, how dare you, TJ? How dare you?
He's a meddler.
Yeah. Where does it get off?
Their bio opens with rumored to have hooked up. So like MTV's not even sure about this.
Did they hire a private investigator?
It's possible. Anything's possible. Yeah. Big budget here.
It really is kind of crazy with some of these things. It's like, all right, well, you hooked up with Jessica, but you also dated Jenna, but you were seen doing something with Avery. So it really is like, you know, a lot of these people have like multiple relationships.
I loved when TJ said that John A was with Zach because that took precedent because it was a relationship over another hookup. Meanwhile, I'm sure that just because they couldn't find someone else to be with someone else. But I like that he actually gave like an explanation.
Yeah. So this is a kind of a wild idea for a season. How did the first Battle of the Exes 1 play out, Brian?
Bananas and Camilla won, right? But they won Battle of the Exes 1, I believe. Yeah. I think CT and DM finished second. And I honestly don't even remember who finished third.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to us. We only care about the winners.
Bananas won.
Yes, as usual. Alec, could you tell us about the relationship between CT and DM for those of us who are relatively new to the challenge?
Yeah, so CT and DM have, like, even you could see when they were the last couple called and Wes was like, roll the footage of, what did he say, like, of them in the pool or the montage. Like, yeah. It's even iconic for the cast. Like, they met, I don't remember which challenge they got to. Oh, she was on Fresh Meat. Was it Fresh Meat that they started?
I think they started on the first duel.
The first duel, okay. And basically, Diem, what was so iconic about the relationship is Diem had shaved her head and was wearing a wig and her hair was growing back. And like CT encouraged her to like shed the wig and be who she was and showed her that she was still beautiful. And so like we saw these moments unfold throughout the relationship on TV. And it was really, I mean, you could show those clips and like it brings a tear to my eye. It definitely does. And then they had a little bit of a falling out. They said some of this on the show about she focused on her career. There was some issue where Chris had a family issue. Chris, who am I? CT had a family issue that DM wasn't necessarily there for. So they have like had back and forth, but they're always strong together and they're always be an iconic couple. And so they're the only couple returning from Battle of the Exes one as a couple.
Okay. So this is a little bit like Eric Reichenbach coming back for Fans versus Favorites 2.
You can say that a little bit, sure.
He was on the original Fans versus Favorites.
And that time he was a favorite, so
he's Survivor Sweeter.
Well, CT and DM are obviously going to be the sentimental favorites. I think that a lot of people are going to be rooting for them, and I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this all plays out on Battle of the Exes 2. I like this. Could we ever see a Survivor with Battle of the Exes?
I think that would be great. It would almost be kind of like Blood versus Water, but Blood versus Blood. I think that'd be great.
No, it would be.
I hope not.
Yeah, that would mean they were all related.
So blood. What's the comparison of blood, water, and rings? So rings. I don't know, but that would be great to see exes against each other.
I think what you have here is you have three fresh Johns for Survivor: Robs versus Johns. I think that's
all right. Perfect. Perfect. So yeah, very, very excited. Now, the Battle of the Exes, this seems earlier in the year than the last challenge. Are there going to be multiple challenges here in 2015?
It's unclear what MTV is doing. I don't know that there are going to be multiple challenges, but they kind of just threw the real world into like early Christmas time and now are trying, I think, to capitalize on showing them both on the same night to unite the audience. Maybe some people who don't watch the challenge will watch the challenge if they're watching The Real World first and vice versa. I'm not really sure what's going on, but I do know that one of the creators of the challenge and The Real World did an AMA, and he was pretty much begging people to watch the challenge live and not DVR'd and online. So I don't know what this means for the challenge, but hopefully it will mean more challenges and not less challenges.
Okay. Another thing that's different this season on the challenge is the inclusion of the Are You the One people. Now, of course, you guys podcast about Are You the One for us on the reality TV wrap-ups. Brian, were you excited to see Are You the One people included in the challenge?
I was thrilled. I know a lot of people thought that, you know, this is just like the real world territory, that these people are outsiders that don't really belong there. But for me, this show is really just about entertainment and putting forth good competitors. And I don't care really where they get them from, whether it's for The Real World or now Are You the One, just as long as they can entertain and put on a good show and do well in these things, I think the more the merrier. And it's good to like mix it up and bring in fresh personality. So for me, I was all over this. I loved it.
Allie, is that the same for you? You're happy to see Are You the One people?
Yeah. And especially I think they did a great job picking the two pairs to be placed from Are You the One. I also think it's created a nice rookie buffer where normally like the one or two rookie pairs will get picked on first. And now there's like a big rookie contingency, which I think is going to be a nice storyline throughout the season.
All right. So in just a minute, we're going to get ready to recap the premiere of Battle of the Exes 2. But first, let me thank our sponsor of this episode of Rob is a Podcast. And those are our friends over at DraftKings.com. Now, you don't have to be Johnny Bananas and go into the dome and try to win Battle of the Exes to make some money, because there's plenty of excitement every week at DraftKings.com. It's America's favorite one-week fantasy sports site where you could win enormous cash prizes every time you play. And you don't even have to take your life into your hands and walk on a tightrope, Brian.
I would never want to do that. So this sounds great.
Yes. Dave from Boston won $1 million in one day just playing fantasy football at DraftKings. And in fact, DraftKings has crowned a new millionaire nearly every week of the season. The football action is continuing throughout the playoffs at DraftKings.com. So be sure to check out the exciting money-making contests in other sports too, like hockey's, college, and pro hoops. Do people play fantasy challenge, Allie? Is that a thing?
Brian plays Fantasy Challenge.
All right.
I do. I created a whole scoring system with my friends. It's fantastic.
All right. Well, you've been hearing about the big winners of DraftKings all year long. So now's your turn to get some huge cash. Head to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Rob. Play for free in the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Rob for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right. So Battle of the X's 2 premiered on Tuesday night on MTV. Brian, is this a new time slot for the show, 11 p.m. Eastern?
Yeah, it's pretty late. Normally, it's a 10 o'clock show, usually either Wednesdays or Thursdays. Yeah, 11 o'clock is...
Yeah, what the hell is that?
It's pushing it for the people who have to get up early the next morning. It's tiring. And I get all like, yeah, I get it pumped up.
Is it just for college kids? What are they doing 11 o'clock at night?
I don't know. They're not trying to target the middle schoolers. They passed their bedtime.
Yeah, is it so raunchy that it needs to be on that late, Allie?
Well, I hope so. It hasn't been in the past, in my opinion. I don't know if like 10 to midnight is MTV's version of prime time, but I'm a little tired today. Got to be honest, from Monster Live.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway, so Battle of the X's 2 is here. I really did think, though, that it was a very fun premiere, and I thought it's really shot extremely well. Like, just even, like, the challenges and stuff like that. Like, the way that they use some of, like, there's probably no better way to describe it than sort of, like, the Matrix-style, like, editing where they, like, really play with the speeds of things, especially when people, like, were falling from the tightrope. Like, I really felt like it was very well done.
They really do a good job with the camera. I think on all the challenges, they always have the competitors wearing cameras on their helmets. They have cameras all over the place. They really know how to put together a good television show.
Yeah, it was really well done. This is in Panama. Brian, is it always in Panama or do they mix it up?
They mix it up. Yeah, locations really don't mean much. Usually for the premiere and then for the finale, they'll go to like a central spot and do stuff in the scenery. For the finale, it's usually like outdoors stuff. But for going forward from here, they're usually just in like open fields or by bodies of water. The locations don't really matter that much.
Yeah, well, they don't really even matter on Survivor anymore.
Right, exactly.
Allie, could you give us the breakdown of how many of the teams are returning people and how many are new people or rookies?
So we have 9 total individual rookies. But what's interesting is we have 8 rookie teams and 1 team that's a mix of a vet who's Johnny Portland, who came in second or third on free agents.
Second
on free agents. And then his ex-girlfriend, who's, they're also the freshest breakup, Avery, who's a rookie.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of everything.
All right. So they introduced it. They brought in all the people who were veterans. How many people total are in this cast? Do we know, Brian?
It's 13 teams, so 13 teams, so 26 people.
26 people. Okay. So we started there with, I guess, what, like 15 veterans, and they brought out 9 rookies? Is that right?
I'm not a math major.
14 and 9?
Something like that.
Whatever it is.
But they seem to be commenting that there's more rookies than normal, Brian. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, normally there's 4 rookies, 5 rookies at most, but yeah, the C9, and it's a lot. And, you know, some of the storylines already were about the rookies having the numbers, and that could definitely play a factor because there definitely are a lot of rookies, a lot of mixing of rookies. So it's a very new type of thing for this.
Allie, does every challenge have to play out that it's the veterans versus the rookies?
I mean, there have been veterans versus rookies, like, whole themes in the past. And yeah, usually it's just an easy vote. I mean, John A, there was a video talking about what they thought about the Are You the One people joining. And John A was like, oh, well, that's an easy vote. More rookies for me to vote off. I think you usually see people considering they don't want to hurt their friends or they don't want to betray their pre-show alliances are huge in this. So it's an easy vote with no one who's going to come back and be angry at you.
So if I'm a rookie and I'm on a season of the challenge, do I have any chance of winning?
You're Johnny Portland.
If you're Johnny Portland, why? No, why him?
Well, he did a really good job on free agents last season, getting in with the tight veteran guy alliance.
Yeah.
And he shared, you know, geographic connections, and he's just kind of a smaller guy. So I don't think he was anyone's, like, first target. And he just kind of weaseled his way in and ended up in the final.
Yeah, Brian, is that what you have to do? Just really like suck kneecaps for all of the guys, like you know, get in good with Johnny Bananas and just tell him how awesome he is and stuff like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, for the most part, if you're a rookie, you're going to be thrown in pretty early on. That's just always the way it goes. So if you win that the first time you're thrown in, then yeah, you just try to just be yourself and just kind of connect. If you just form a few bonds here or there and you don't be like a jerk, people will start to like you and that'll help you along the way.
How many challenges do you have to compete in before you're not considered a rookie? For like by your second challenge, are you just embraced?
I think the funny thing is, I think there's actually a legitimate term. I think after three seasons, it literally in MTV terms, you're a veteran because that's
tenured.
If you really do get tenure, because I think you start then getting paid for just being on it, not just based on how you do. So I think after three is when you reach veteran status.
Oh my God. So like, does the MTV cast this with like a fine tooth comb, or is it just like, are there people who want to be in the challenge, but MTV doesn't want them anymore? Allie, do we know this?
Yeah, so I referenced the AMA that was done on Reddit before. It was really interesting because a lot of people asked questions, why aren't you bringing so-and-so back? Brian talked about on our preview that there are hardcore veterans who are now trying to make a Twitter movement to come back, and they want, you know, fresher people sometimes. But they also said it just depends on who's available at the certain time. Like, you made it sound very casual about the casting, that they go in with a few themes in mind, and then they just kind of see who's available for them.
Are there real-world people who are not available for the taping of the challenge? I feel like they would drop everything.
Yeah, he mentioned a lot of people had quote-unquote real jobs. So he was kind of putting down the show in a way. But I'm happy we got who we got for this.
Okay, so you guys are happy with this cast?
I am. I think it's a very good mix of veterans, rookies, and a nice solid group.
All right, give me some of the standouts. Who are the people that you're most excited about, Brian?
I mean, I'm a big Johnny Bananas fan. I know he's
you
a star.
You are the number one Johnny Bananas fan, right?
I am. I know a lot of people say that he's been here too long. It's time for him to go. But for me, whenever he does hang up the boots and retires, I think people are going to be saying, wow, the show is not as good without him. Because he, more so just not even of how good a competitor he is, just being on this show for so long, he knows what makes good television. And that's kind of an underrated thing for people watching the show. Like, Bananas just knows how to create stuff. He knows what to say in certain situations. So for me, no challenge is really ever complete without Bananas there.
Now, you've interviewed Johnny Bananas before in the past. You do a great job of getting access to a lot of these people, which we have here on Reality TV Rehab Ups, which I have done a bad job so far of even telling people how to listen to Reality TV Rehab Ups. If they want to hear more about the challenge all season long, you could, of course, subscribe on iTunes, go to robiswebsite.com/rehapups, or for the specifically to subscribe to the MTV challenge feed, that's robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And it also, you can get Reality TV Rehapups on the Rehap app, of course. There's a whole slider there where you can get all of Reality TV Rehapups. So Johnny Bananas, you've talked to him before, and is he happy to hear your coverage of the Rehapups?
I think he is. I think he enjoys any coverage of the challenge and of himself. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, and so here's Johnny Bananas. He's back with Johnny and Nani.
Yes.
Team Banani.
Banani, is that what their official team name is?
They have t-shirts.
So she's in on it. They're not like a reluctant pair, so that we really feel like that Johnny Bananas has recruited Nani.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think even in their team interview they posted on MTV.com, Nani said that basically she's thrilled to be with him because that means she's probably going to do very well.
Okay. So was there like a long list of women that wanted to be Johnny Bananas' partner because they were going to come back for almost an assured like top three finish with him?
I think anyone would be thrilled to be with Johnny. I mean, or Bananas.
Whoa.
It was his sixth win or fifth win last season. And he's pulled this line that he's like coming back to show he's still got it. No one doubts that he still has it. I mean, you win five challenges. He's the most recent winner. Thrilled to be with him. Although there is some tension there, which I'm looking forward to hearing about because this was a secret relationship.
Yes. Well, that's why there's probably a lot of tension. That's keeping it a secret. The secret's out, though.
Yeah, we're blowing the story wide open.
Yeah. Allie, who were you most excited to see back?
I love Sarah, who's Jordan's partner. I'm a little nervous that she won't bring the drama, though, because she's engaged. But I just think she's a great competitor. She notoriously gets screwed on the challenges, which you could see she... Well, I wish. No, not I wish, but like more drama.
Hey,
more drama. No, but she like lost her shoe. Like, who loses a shoe on a tightrope challenge? But that's kind of Sarah. Like, she just... She's really great, but for some reason, something always holds her back. But I also, and people I was excited to see, not because I like them, but because they're good counterpoints to Johnny, are like Wes and Jordan. I think we already saw in this first episode that Wes is going to be a major foil for Bananas and it's not going to be a runaway. So I think that balance is really good.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about Wes's big move in the episode. We'll get to that in a little bit. Let me just ask you about a few other teams. Tell me a little bit more about Zach and John A. Did I say that right? John A?
I've been pronouncing it wrong my entire life, so your guess is as good as mine.
I called her Johanna the whole preview by accident because of another cast member.
Yeah, but from last season.
Zach and Janae had like a whirlwind romance on Battle of the Seasons, and she broke up with her boyfriend, and they moved in together in L.A. And from what I understood, it was like a way bigger deal because Zach just peaced out for 2 years and didn't talk to her. And they're trying to play it cool now on the show, but I'm hoping that, you know, living together and just walking out on her and not speaking to her for 2 years is enough to cause a scene here. I think, though, Janae physically is really going to hold Zach/Thor back, so he's not really high on my power rankings right now.
Do I have this right in my notes that he said that he got together with her because she had no gag reflex?
Oh, you heard
that's
correctly.
Why they broke up, I thought he said.
Oh, that was, well... Now, is that a reason why you would break up with her?
I don't know. He's a weird dude.
Brian,
that's not a reason why I would break,
defer to you.
That's not a reason why I would break up with her.
Yeah. I don't know.
Back to the tape.
All right. And then tell me about Leroy and Nia.
Naya. So they're one of the quote unquote secret hookups that cameras really only caught the aftermath of. And apparently they had little adventure in the bathroom that they don't want to disclose. But Leroy, it's funny. These two
why
are
they
almost,
did.
That's true. But these two are almost like the polar opposites in terms of kind of like the perception. Like Leroy is really like one of the most likable people on the show. He's very funny. He gets along with everyone. I don't think he's really been in an argument on any of the seasons he's ever been in. While Naya on her season of The Real World almost committed murder. So you really have like two polar opposites of people. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right, any other standouts?
I like seeing Avery and Johnny because those two are really like really the purest exes. You could even see it from the premiere that there's still a lot of lingering hate and emotions for those two. And I'm really curious to see how that plays out.
All right, and tell me about Jay and Jenna. What's going on with Jay and why is everybody saying that he's hooked up with everybody?
Jay was also rumored to be seen with Gina Marie from Big Brother. So just to get a... He's very into the reality scene.
Whoa! So Jay and Gina Marie?
Yeah, that's... I'm spreading that. I got that from someone in the writer's room, and I'm spreading it.
Allie, you... What? You think you're better than me, Allie? No chicken palm for you.
No, what I like about Jay and Jenna is we're seeing a complete reversal here because we watched Jenna, who's super hot, cry over what I guess Zach called him an elf. Someone called him an elf for the entire season of The Real World Explosion. And it was so frustrating because look at her, you know, mm-hmm. And he treated her like garbage. And so now we're seeing her do bikini cartwheels and love that Jay's like eating his heart out.
Whoa. Yeah, it seems like I was very confused about why all these women are rumored to be hooking up with Jay, but then he seemed like he misses Jenna.
Yeah, I mean, well, look at who, I mean, I don't want to be a hater, maybe I had a little too much hater aid today, but Jess is not my favorite, so to hook up with Jess, yeah, I'd go back to Jenna too, but the best part was Jemmy's Jimmy's like in between commercial. I don't know if there's a television term for that, where she's like, she only hooks up with like rich, black, tall, athletic men, and Jay is none of those. So she squashed that really quick.
Yeah. Well, okay. Since you brought up Jimmy, tell me about Jimmy and Knight.
They have a very interesting relationship. They first got together on their season of Real World in New Orleans, and they dated for a while. They are very fiery. They fight a lot. They fight hysterically. And Knight really, really enjoys getting under Jimmy's skin and watching her flip out. I think it was last season or two seasons ago. Jimmy has this weird phobia with ketchup. So, of course, Knight grabbed a bottle of ketchup and poured it down her back, and Jimmy flipped out like nothing I've ever seen before. So they really love to get under each other's skin, and it makes for fantastic television.
She's afraid of ketchup?
Ketchup.
Okay, got that. Got that.
No, you heard correctly.
Yeah. All right. So, and what's Jimmy's angle? She's there to hook up?
I don't think so.
Okay. That seemed like that her and Jenna, it seemed like that scene that you were referencing before, it seemed like that she's like at least trying to catch the guy's attention.
I think that was Brittany, who is probably there definitely to hook up and maybe win, but I think she's probably more eager to hook up. Although Jimmy's down.
Okay.
She's available.
Yeah. All right. So we got to meet all of our cast of characters, and everybody is pumped up, and they let them go and run into the house. Bananas kicks it off with a toast. Is that tradition on the challenge, Brian?
Bananas doing a toast is as traditional as Probst standing on a giant rock yelling 39 days, 16 people, one survivor.
Yeah.
That's what the challenge is about.
And will Bananas ever retire from the challenge, or will they just that he's in it until they stop making them?
I don't see him leaving anytime soon. I mean, this is his job. He makes decent money, I think, from doing it. So why should he stop?
Yeah, you know, it's something interesting about this where I feel like if there was a Survivor season, like let's say they did like a new like Heroes versus Villains 2 or something like that, or they did like this Survivor Legends, you feel like you wouldn't see like, hey, we're the older survivors. Let's vote out. Let's stick together. Let's vote out all the new people from the last seasons. They haven't put in their time. So I do feel like that I have to respect that, you know, where these guys are coming from, that they have like this pact where with the exception of, you know, Wes here tonight, they stick to it.
There are some longstanding feuds just as much as there are longstanding alliances. But it's understandable that you look out for your friends. I mean, these guys are all friends outside of the show.
Yeah. Okay. So whereas maybe on Survivor, there's more money at stake and they spend less time together.
Right. And there's also the factor of on Survivor, if you just vote someone out to make them, quote unquote, earn their stripes, they're just eliminated. Where on the challenge, if you vote someone in, it's really making them just earn their spot back in the game by winning. So it's kind of like a weird balancing act with that, too.
Okay.
The other thing is like the odds of you going on Survivor and coming back with half of your cast from that same season is unlikely here. I mean, we have so many people who are just on the last season. Like you're almost making the relationships that you're going to use again, hopefully next year.
Okay. So the big challenge this week that everybody had to compete in up in Panama City, which was really a breathtaking challenge, which they had to go and it was called I Got You, Babe. And you had to go ahead and like hold people like as you like tightrope, like walk across like two buildings that are together. Although the part about the heights didn't really bother so much the teams as much as it did that the wake up call was at 5:30 a.m. That was like the big turnoff for a lot of people.
It would bother me too. That's really early. God.
Yeah.
These towers aren't available in the afternoon.
I think it seemed like they got like on a bus and they went on a plane and then it seemed like there was like a lot of transport to get them to where they had to go. So I think that's where the 5:30 a.m. wake up call came from.
That's probably sounds right.
Yeah. For me, the 5:30 a.m. wouldn't be the part that bothered me. It would be the actual challenge.
40 stories of height would bother you.
Yeah. No, it was really like an epic challenge. Is this par for the course for the challenge? I feel like the episodes that I watched last season weren't nearly as good as this challenge was, Allie.
Yeah, they really started off with a bang here. I mean, it's definitely not uncommon to see some sort of death-defying height stunt done. But, like, this makes all other challenges on every other show look like hopscotch. Like, I mean, we had just been watching Are You the One, where the challenges are like, roll this ball. So this is, I think, every year the challenge seems to try to top itself. And yes, there will be more tame challenges, like if you just pop in on a random episode. But overall, this is pretty much par for the course. And I think that's shown by all of them being willing to do it. Usually you see more people panicking on the rope or I can't do it or DQing right away. Like, all of them were pretty much game to try it, which I was pretty impressed by.
Yeah, the challenge, if you didn't see the episode, so there was, all the teams are co-ed. So the guy was on like some sort of like a pulley system that was going between the two buildings, like 500 feet up in the air. And then the woman of the team had to walk across a tightrope. And the guy who was like on the pulley system, like strapped in, like face down, was holding like a maybe like a 10-foot piece of rope. So the woman had to sort of walk across the tightrope, only holding on to the piece of the rope that was dangling down from the guy who was on the pulley system. And if they fell, there was sort of like a bungee system attached, so they weren't going to like fall and die, but you were going to fall like 20, 25 feet and like have the bungee cord like pull you back up.
Right, and this was where they really utilized the Matrix style slow-mo falling, which was fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it was really, really cool the way they did that. It was just sort of like when somebody like would fall, they would go into like, you know, 60 frames per second, like super slow motion, and then like go like right into the drop, which was really cool every time that they did it. I would have had cardiac arrest right at the time. Like, I know that they were safe, but I would have been just screaming the entire time.
Yeah, you could send me home before I did this. Like, don't even send me to the dome. Just send me right home. Like, I couldn't even look up at that building, much less inch across it. What was scarier, the person walking across, the girl, or the guy who had a Superman face down 500 feet?
Oh, 100% the girl, because the guy was strapped in. The guy wasn't going to fall. That would be the worst part, when you fall off the rope.
I don't know. You can't use don't look down when you're the guy. You have to look down.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe just everybody was just like liquored up or whatever to like get through it. But I don't know how they did it. I mean, I would have been scared on The Amazing Race this season that they did a similar task, but you had to like, there were like two things and you held a rope like with your hands and walked across as you did the tightrope thing with your feet. This was like 10 times harder just to hold on to the piece of rope that the guy had.
This is what the challenge is. This is why it's great. They keep pushing and pushing, and it's like you said, it's amazing that everyone's just like, oh, walk across 40-story building. Sure, where do I sign? Like, yeah, they don't even bat an eye anymore because this is just what it is year after year.
Yeah, it was really crazy. Who are the teams that struggled the most with this?
Yeah, it seemed like Adam and Brittany made it about two steps, and then Brittany fell.
Yeah,
it seemed like Jemmy and Knight didn't do too hot either.
Yeah. It's also seemed like that there wasn't a lot of like finger pointing between the teams. I was surprised that there wasn't more like, you idiot, you blew it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's just because this is the first challenge. And maybe because I thought the guys, typically in the past, like there are certain guys who have a bad reputation for like verbally abusing the females on their team.
Yeah.
Whereas like now that was like so supportive, you got it, you got it, you did so good, that was so good when they fell. So we'll see how this continues, if they can really keep this up as the tension builds and they get closer to the money.
Yeah. Will they stay in their pairs with their exes the whole way through? Like if this was like a Big Brother season, they would start it with Battle of the Exes, but then when they get down to like 10 people, they would say, okay, now it's an individual competition. Does the real world keep them in these preconceived pairs the whole way through, Brian?
Yeah, this is every step of the way, this is their one and only partner.
Will there be a mutiny or anything like that where you could switch partners? Like, I feel like I've seen that before on Bachelor Pad a couple seasons ago.
That has not happened yet, but maybe if people are asking Probst to do crazy stuff, maybe they can start asking TJ to do that type of stuff. But that has never happened.
Well, that is a big twist. And speaking of big twists this season, we found out at the end of the episode that this season, the team that was eliminated, which ends up being Dustin and Jessica, are on exile or in exile, Exile Island. Now, call me a stickler, but Brian, isn't this Redemption Island?
That's what I would call it, or Exile Hotel, maybe. But yeah, it seemed basically ripped right off of Redemption Island. That's basically what they're doing.
But they refer to it Exile, and if we're going to use that naming convention, Exile to me would be, okay, you two are going to go have to live at a different house for the rest of this period, and then you'll come back to the house right before we pick who goes into the dome. This seems like Redemption, and considering that Redemption Island is not hugely popular on Survivor, Allie, why are we getting into Redemption Island on the challenge?
Well, it's either that MTV is like shots fired at CBS that they think they can rename everything. But I also think it's more of Last Chance Kitchen, because I think that this Battle of the Exiled is only going to be online. And
oh,
we may see little clips, but I think it's more of the Top Chef model, and they're trying to engage, give you more points of contact maybe with the show.
Yeah. Because the MTV website is, with all due respect to everybody at MTV, I find it very hard to navigate.
Yeah, with due respect to MTV, it's a horrible, it has no information. Accessing the information that they do have is very difficult.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's easier if you're on a cell phone than on a computer. And I'm certainly not the right demo that is looking at this. So maybe my grown-up brain can't process what it, you know, this website designed for like a 16-year-old. But I don't know. I don't know if they need more online content. I mean, you've got 26 people on this season, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
sometimes
do we need,
yeah, sometimes
do you
even
need
more.
Redemption Island?
No. I'm really not a fan of this. Just like the reason I'm not a fan of it for Redemption with Survivor, it kills the big moment in each episode when either someone for Survivor, when someone get voted out. But here, when, you know, when Dustin and Jess lose that, and now it's like, oh, well, they didn't really lose. They just like kind of lost, but they're still in it. But that's, it kind of just like kills the big moment.
Yeah.
The only thing that swayed me a little bit from absolutely hating this idea is that with Wes, I mean, this is totally unprecedented that he would just throw pretty seasoned. I mean, Jess has been on 3 challenges now, like seasoned veterans almost, into the first dome, and they would lose. Like, the fact that the house may start shaking up where vets go out early, this may make it a little bit more interesting. I mean, if a rookie pair went all the way through, everyone would be like enough with the exiled, but it's not unreasonable to think that a favorite team would get dropped into exile, and then maybe it'll make it more worthwhile.
Okay, good. Well, this is the perfect setup to talk about this. So Wes and Teresa, they were the power couple. Is that the right terminology?
Yeah.
You got it.
Okay. Which I believe they also used on Big Brother UK this summer. All these reality shows, you know, it's very hard to talk about multiple shows because they're all like, you know, switch using the same exact term. So Wes and Teresa are the power couple. They ended up going and having this to select who to put up to go into the dome. Now, they have a dinner, Wes and Teresa, and correct me if I'm wrong. Does Teresa have any say in the matter of who gets put up, or is it just that Wes is kind of an egomaniac and he's not letting her have any say in this, Allie?
Teresa has a bad past experience with scheming and getting called out on like trying to go behind alliances' backs. So I don't know if she's just choosing to take a back seat for that reason, or if Wes is just so domineering that she just doesn't want to waste her time.
Okay. So, Brian, Wes has this plan, and he has to put somebody up. Now, traditionally, the chalk move is to, you're a veteran, and who are the rookies? And you're putting rookies up against rookies. You have Adam and Brittany. They're rookies. They're going into the dome. Now we should put more rookies into the dome. But Wes has another plan.
Yeah, he's targeting the big alpha male, is his counterpart, Johnny Bananas. And it's funny because this is not really the first time he's done this. Back a few seasons now, back in Fresh Meat 2, there was a similar situation. The other big guy was Kenny Santucci, who was Wes's eventual rival in that season. He targeted him right away, looking to make a big move right away, looking to powwow with the rookies, get them on his side, and go after the big guy. So this is kind of like Wes's MO.
Yeah, he's considering putting up Johnny Bananas, which would be seemingly a big mistake for him. And so he's talking about it in the house. And then he says, OK, well, tomorrow morning, it's almost like he has a sit down with Johnny Bananas that's like in the appointment book. And I don't know why he had to wait to talk to Johnny Bananas. But OK, tomorrow morning, I'm talking with Johnny Bananas and I'm going to see how big of a D he is. And if he is, then he's going into the challenge. And he has to sit down with Johnny Bananas. Johnny Bananas is completely a D to him, threatens him, and has him not, and he ends up not doing it. So, Allie, isn't this the kind of thing that you either do it or don't do it? Isn't this worst case scenario to threaten him that you're going to do it and not do it?
See, I think this is similar. I think this is more of a head game for Wes. I don't think he was ever throwing Bananas in. Brian may disagree, but I didn't. I thought this was like a bluff from the beginning to kind of threaten the relationship and then in Wes's mind spare him to show like I could have thrown you in. I would have, but I didn't because I'm, you know, and then maybe you'll have me. I thought his move was brilliant. It's kind of making me think of like, you know, Natalie not cutting John or going for Alec versus, anyway, it's like the smaller move, right? She couldn't get John, so she went for the smaller move and saved Keith. I think this is kind of like that, but actually a good idea because she, by doing this, he throws in a veteran pair, spares the rookies, builds a relationship with the rookies that he needs because he's really not in with the veterans. And Dustin and Jess really have no one. No one likes Jess. Nani and Dustin are friends. But nobody's mad or upset except for Dustin and Jess, who went home. So no problem. I thought this was a brilliant move for Wes.
Yeah, I don't disagree about the what he ultimately ended up doing, but I can't help but feel like it was a mistake to go and threaten Johnny Bananas like that. Brian, I feel like I'm not sure how if you guys are Breaking Bad fans or not, but wasn't this a half measure of letting Mr. Bananas know you're coming for him, but then not taking him out?
See, I can see where you're coming from, but if this was all just new people that had no past experience, then yeah, I would say targeting someone and then not actually going through with it is probably not the smartest thing. But Wes and Bananas are going to go after each other at some point. They're not going to be friends. They don't really work together. So at some point down the line, they're going to come after each other. So this was really just Wes kind of just throwing the first shot and be like, this is going to happen. I just want to toy with you while I have the power. So I agree with Allie that he was never really going to throw him in at this early on in the game, but they both know they're gunning for each other at some point, and this is just like the foreplay for it, really.
Whoa. So you guys both like this move for Wes?
Yeah, I didn't really mind him going after Bananas. I was fully expecting him to just toy with him. That's just what Wes loves to do. And yeah, I thought the move of throwing in Jess and Dustin was fine, mainly because it would help to get rid of Jess.
To me, I feel like the comparison is that I would make like this is Big Brother and Wes was HOH and there was a guy that was, you know, supposedly like in his like big alliance and it was time to like name a replacement nominee. And he sort of like made Johnny Bananas like come up to the HOH room and say like, so I'm thinking about putting you up for nomination. And Johnny Bananas is like, you idiot. If I go up on the block, don't you know I've got the votes to stay in the house? Like screw you for even making me have this conversation with you. And if you put me up, I'm staying in the house and I'm taking you out. But now I feel like he's so on the radar.
I mean, he was always on the radar. And that's the thing is that they're never going to be aligned, at least going into it at this moment. Anything could happen.
So tell me this. If Johnny Bananas and Johnny and Nani, they become the power couple next week, is Wes going into the dome or does Johnny Bananas, much like Keith, stick to the plan?
It could go either way. I think Bananas usually is more of a straight shooter. I don't know if he wants to add to the list of times he put Wes in. I mean, Wes was like a woman scorned recounting the amount of times that Johnny put him in. But maybe Brian can weigh in on this more, but I don't think that Johnny cuts Wes's throat so early on either. I think they kind of go back and forth, and it'll be the big showdown when one of them actually goes in.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen so soon. And it also really depends on who the other team that's already in the dome is. Because if when Bananas throws in Wes, or when Wes throws in Bananas, they want them to lose. So if they're going in against a weak team, there's no real point of making that move. So if one of the stronger teams is in there, let's say like if Johnny and Avery are in the elimination already, that's when you might see one of them take a shot to eliminate them.
Okay, so it's ultimately Jessica and Dustin that go into the dome to take on Adam and Bethany. Allie, could you explain this challenge that they had to compete in the dome?
I can try, but wow, who thinks of this? Basically, they strap, you know, 4x4, 2x4s, I don't know, wood. They strap, like, things of wood onto them that lock into this very tall wall. And their bodies are connected on either side of the panels, on their hands, wrists, and on their ankles. And they have to hop together the pieces of wood so it fits into each groove to the top. And that's the best that I can do on the explanation, because it was crazy.
Well, I think you're missing a big part of it where, and I'm not sure if this was for protection or as part of the difficulty, that they had, like, their mouths wired shut, or had, like mouth guards that they couldn't talk.
Oh. I thought that was just for safety.
That was for safety purposes.
You said mouths wired shut. I really missed a lot of it.
Brian, is that right? That was just a for protection.
I think it's just a safety thing. Yeah, but I love your conspiracy theory.
Oh, I thought it was to make it harder for them to communicate.
I mean, definitely made it harder. But yeah, I think it's just a pure safety thing.
Okay, we're gonna be safe with these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was pretty neck and neck until Dustin and Jessica ended up falling down. And then Adam and Brittany had a pretty straight shot. Adam starts telling Brittany, "I love you," as they get close to the top. Now, Greg, is he joking around, or is this an ex relationship that's rekindling?
Oh, my God. I was hoping their mouths would be wired shut so we didn't have to hear this. "I love you." Adam and Brittany on Are You the One, Brian knows how upset I am about this. Adam constantly says he has beer goggles when he hooks up with her. "She's so into me. I had to, like, stay away from her." And then he's always chasing her. I think, I don't know if he, like, had a moment on that wall, but that's definitely going to be either nothing or drama later. I think Brittany's just used to him declaring this false love.
Could you tell me a little bit about the team of JJ and Simone? This seems like an extremely unlikely couple.
Yeah, they're a real mismatch. They kind of just formed their really weird relationship on Are You the One season one. They started hooking up, but like JJ said in his pre-interview, that he just kind of just started getting turned off by Simone the way. You know, she just, they're very different people. JJ is a very, like, sarcastic guy. Simone, I think, is not really used to dating this type of person. So they kind of had a big tumultuous blow up, and it ended with JJ, like, throwing glass against the wall. It was a whole fiasco between them blowing up. So their dynamic is interesting going into this one.
Allie, do you guys like JJ?
I love JJ. I think he has a lot of funny one-liners always, and he definitely had a few in this episode. What's interesting is they did, like, you know, pre-interviews, and JJ was saying, either we're going to do 0% or 100%. We're either going home the first episode or making it to the end. There's no middle ground. And I kind of agree with that. If they can get by the first few eliminations, they may just pop up in the end.
Okay, so Dustin and Jessica, they are the first team eliminated. They go to Exile Mansion or wherever they're at. Are they going to be competing against the other teams, or is it just sort of like, is America going to vote somebody back in?
I think they haven't really fully declared what the rules are. I think what it's going to be is that whoever the next team to come in, they face off against Dustin and Jessica, and then whoever loses goes home officially, and that one stays in. I don't know when the rest of the cast finds out about this, if it's not until someone comes in. The rules in this are a little still iffy.
Okay. All right. So one episode down on the challenge, Battle of the Exes. Who is going to win this season, Allie? Do you have a winner pick?
I'm going to pick, and I'm afraid to pick it because I'm not confident in it, but I'm going to go Wes and Teresa.
Oh, my God. Well, that would be, I'm sure, an exciting ride for Wes to make it to the end.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I never said it was going to be easy, but we'll see.
Brian?
I mean, I got to go with my man, Johnny Bananas. He's got a strong partner in Nani. When in doubt, you got to go Bananas to get his seventh or sixth title.
Oh, my God. Very compelling season of the Battle of the Exes. Again, the stuff with Diem is really fascinating. She comes off so good in this episode. I didn't really talk about it in the recap, but the scene where her and CT are talking, and she's talking about her whole battle with cancer and how you know she's like, people are tired of hearing me talk about cancer. Well, you know, I'm really tired of living with cancer. It's just really, really amazing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, she's a star. Of all, like, you know, MTV is filled with a lot of, like, lowlifes or fame-hungry people. But Diem is really one of the people that had a really strong following. She was a role model to a lot of people, so... She's one of the good ones.
Yeah, I was going to say that I feel like, you know, on a show where you could have some trashy people on it, she really comes off like a super classy person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm very, very interested to see how it all plays out. So, of course, Brian and I are going to recap every episode of the challenge Battle of the Exes for us on Reality TV Wrap Ups. If you don't know what that is, that, of course, is our other podcast of all the shows that I can't get to. We've got tons of great hosts that are covering right now. The new season of The Bachelor just kicked off. We got the Battle of the Exes, and then Kurt Clark and Mallory Beasley are going to be covering the Celebrity Big Brother UK right now. So lots of stuff happening on Reality TV Wrap Ups here in the start of 2015. Plus, we've had our Top Chef roundtable with Josh Wigler and Antonio and Kurt Clark and Mike Bloom. They've been doing some shows on Reality TV Wrap Ups too. So if you want to get in on that, go to robiswebsite.com/Wrap Ups, RHAPUPS for that. Or for just our challenge feed, you can go to robiswebsite.com/challenge. iTunes. So you guys are pumped up for this season?
Incredibly. Yeah. Love it. It's going to be a fun ride.
You guys didn't really even have a break. You just finished Are You the One? And you go right into this.
Yeah, I'm weary. Brian's carrying me on, dragging me through to the final.
Well, that's what this is great that you guys are partners just like everybody on the season. You have to really trust each other.
I won't let you fall down forward at feet, Allie.
I'm not looking forward then to the next episode, which is called I Will Always Hate You. So hopefully it doesn't end like that.
Plus, every week you can ask your questions for Brian and Allie. We post a thread on the Rob Has a Podcast Facebook fan page, and they answer your questions during the show. And you guys take tweets from people also?
Of course.
We take tweets.
Okay. Yeah, what are your Twitter handles?
You can follow me at Bus Driver's Route.
And I'm at Lash Tweets.
Last tweets. All right. And we're getting all geared up. Battle of the Exes 2. Could you guys tell me I watched 110 commercials for this eye candy. what is this? MTV has a serialized show that's like a Criminal Minds. What's going on with this show, Allie?
Former star of Zoe 101 and former Nick star is advancing to the teen world. And that's all I can really tell you. It has really creepy commercials.
Yeah, what's the show about? It's a stalker?
I honestly, Serial is my limit. I can't watch any of those shows. Nightmares. Gotta stick to reality.
Yeah. No, podcasts aren't that scary, except for some of the ones that I do.
No, well, never.
You've never kept me awake at night, so.
Well, yeah. We do put people to sleep very quickly. No, that's one of the things we are, one of our claims.
Not what I meant, but.
All right.
Do it for the joke.
All right, well, guys, thanks so much. Really looking forward to hearing everything about the challenge this season. So great job as usual.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Okay, take care, guys.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That's Brian and Allie with me talking about the season premiere of the challenge. We've got a lot more coming up this week. We've got Kurt Clark and Mallory Beasley with me to talk about the premiere of the Big Brother UK Celebrity Edition. We're going to have that podcast for you later in the week. That premiere was on Wednesday night. You could check that out on YouTube, the actual show, not the podcast. The podcast is going to be on robhasawebsite.com. Of course, also then I'm going to be speaking with Tyson after his new show premieres on the We Network Marriage Bootcamp. So a lot of stuff coming up, and next week we've got much, much more as well. It's a jam-packed Jamuary here on Rob Has a Podcast. Hope everybody has a good one, and we'll talk to you again soon. Looking forward to what you have to say in the comments, and take care. Bye.